You were hearing about the ladies of Hastinapur and their wonderful glorifications of Krishna as Krishna was preparing to leave Hastinapur going to Dwarka, and they were appreciating Krishna and the fortune of the residents of Dwarka and the queens of Dwarka and the sons of the queens of Dwarka and the sons of the sons of the queens of Dwarka and one for Krishna. One of the things that was mentioned was specifically by name Rukmini, Satyabhama, and Jambavati, and how Krishna in a very valiant way won the hands of these wonderful queens along with 16,100 other queens who were captive by Bhomasura. So I thought, let's hear about Krishna putting the hand of Satyabhama and Jambavati. Jamataka Jewel story. Jamataka Jewel story. So, if the two lights go out, you can see the image better. Okay, no, that's good. That's okay.
Oh, I see. There's a switch on top.
So, where are our older children? Because I want to have the older children come right up front. Right up front. Like, right up front. Because at the end...
Come here.
At the end... I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to ask you about the story. But if you put your head in the screen, then we'll be able to see the screen. So you got to move your head back. Where's Nanda Sundar? Where's our champion of young students? Okay, very good. You can sit right here. School has started, right? You got to sit up straight. You can sit like that. It's yogi time. Can you be a yogi? There we go. Okay. So, listen carefully because... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's five of you. Oh, there's six of you.
There's 7 and 8.
There's five. I'm going to ask you questions at the end. So you got to pay attention. I can even tell you some of the questions now. Who is the daughter of King Satrajit? You don't have to answer it because you'll hear it in the story. So I'm going to ask you questions like that. Who did Satrajit worship? And what did Satrajit receive as a result of his worship? Things like that. Like, you know, really basic things. That just, if you had a little pet, you can write it down and you just look at your notes. Well, otherwise you're going to have to remember. Can you remember? Do you have a good memory? Okay.
Okay. Father and King the daughter?
Write it down if you want, okay?
So? good beginning anyway, right?
Holy men to preside over the ceremony, He was so completely engrossed in thoughts of possessing the jewel that he forgot to invite Krishna through the ceremony to receive his blessings. Being a worshipper of the demigods, Satyajit has become too materialistic. Thus, sometime later, when Krishna asked him to give the jewel to Ugrasena, the Yadavu king, Satyajit refused. Instead, he thought it wiser to worship the jewel himself, so he could get the 170 pounds of gold every day. One day, Satyajit's brother, Prasenna, to show off his family's opulence, hung the jewel around his neck and rode off into the forest on horseback to hunt. As he rode here and there along the forest path, a big lion watched him from a rock high above the road. "Look at this man," lion said to himself. "How pridefully he rides with this great shiny jewel resting on his swollen chest. But I am here in the forest, the owner of everything, and the master of everyone. This jewel is meant for me," the lion roared, "to be worn around my kingly mane." Saying this, he leapt down upon Prasenna on his horse, killed them both with his sharp teeth, and happily ran off with the Shamantaka jewel, leaving the two dead bodies on the road. Carrying the jewel in his mouth, the lion ran into a cave to enjoy the unique beauty of his trophy. As the jewel's slender effulgence lit up the cave, the lion roared with great delight. Unfortunately, the lion had entered the cave of Jambavan, the king of the demons, who was a great devotee of Lord Rama Chandra. Hearing the lion roar within the entrance of his cave, Jambavan ran to protect his family. "Lion," and the lion shouted, "why have you entered my home? And where did you get such a fine gem? From the blood on your paws, it appears you killed someone to enjoy earthly splendor." The lion stood up infuriated. "How wrong you are, Jambavan. I am the king of this jungle, the owner of everything. You treat me to your cave or die." Jambavan replied, "You fool, don't you know everything belongs to the Supreme Lord? Get out of here, or I'll send you to the abode of Yamaraj." At this, the lion sprang at Jambavan, his sharp claws bared, his fangs glistening. But as an elephant easily crushes an ant, Jambavan slapped the lion dead with his mighty fist. Jambavan buried the lion's dead body outside and left it on the mountainside. When he turned to his cave, he saw the Shamantaka jewel lying on the ground. Being a great devotee of the Lord, Jambavan did not see the valuable jewel as something he very much needed. So, he gave it to his little son to play with. Meanwhile, back in Dwarka, Satyajit awaited the return of Prasenna. When he did not return, Satyajit became deeply troubled. Unaware that his brother had been killed by a lion, he began to think that Krishna must have killed Bhishma to take the jewel. This idea grew into a terrible rumor, which started to spread like wildfire amongst all the residents of Dwarka. You saw for yourself how Krishna asked you to give him the Shamantaka jewel. Because I refused, he must have stolen it from Prasena and killed him in the forest. Satyajit spread this false rumor from house to house until it finally reached the lotus-like ears of Lord Sri Krishna within the palace walls. Wanting to remove the stain on his reputation, Krishna took some of Dwarka's leading citizens with him and set out to retrace the same path. In the forest, they soon found the mauled bodies of Prasena and his horse, and further on, the body of the lion on the mountainside. Everybody could plainly see that a lion had been killed by the hand of Jambalaya. Dear Lord, the citizens exclaimed, just see how Prasena and his horse were killed by the jaws of a lion. How horrible it is that Satyajit has accused you of such a terrible crime. We, your closest servants, never believed it. The Lord replied, I know your hearts, dear friends. Only fools would believe such a rumor. But I cannot allow my reputation to become sullied, and thus I must prove my innocence. Come along, Krishna continued. Since the jewel is no longer with Prasena or the lion, Jambavan must have it. Along with his subjects, Krishna stood at the mouth of a pitch black cave. Dear Krishna, one citizen said, this cave is very frightening. Its entrance is as dark as night, and it appears to have a very long tunnel within. Perhaps we should return home to get torches. Krishna stood before the mouth of the cave. No, that won't be necessary. I will enter the tunnel alone. I don't think you should come with me. I don't want to endanger any of you. But I'm not afraid, and I'm sure I will find the Shamantaka jewel in this cave. Oh Lord, the citizen replied, please don't enter the cave alone. If any harm comes to you, we'll never forgive ourselves. Don't worry, Krishna assured him. I'll be back as soon as I recover the jewel. Lord Krishna proceeded along the vast tunnel, deeper and deeper into the cave, until at last he entered Jambavan's home. There, he saw a small child sitting on the ground, playing with the Shamantaka jewel. The child's nurse thought Krishna was a thief and cried out in fear. Upon hearing her cries, Jambavan, the strongest of the strong, ran toward the Lord. Jambavan was actually a great devotee of Lord Krishna. But because he was extremely angry, he could not recognize his master. Thinking the Lord to be an ordinary man, Jambavan challenged Krishna to a fight, and the Lord heartily accepted, wanting to enjoy a good tussle with his devil team. They fought furiously like two opposing vultures. For 12 long days and nights, the residents of Dwarka waited outside the cave for Krishna to return. Then, fearing the worst, they returned to Dwarka with heavy hearts to inform King Ugrasena of all that had happened. Deep inside the cave, the battle between Krishna and Jambavan raged on. First, the two combatants struck each other with huge metal clubs. And then they began to hurl boulders at each other. Next, they took massive tree trunks and used those as clubs. And finally, they began striking each other with their fists. Each blow sounded like the crack of thunder. The fighting went on day and night for 28 days. At last, Jambavan's muscles began to weaken from the powerful pummeling of Lord Krishna's fists, and his strength began to falter. Greatly astonished, Jambavan finally spoke. My dear Lord, I can now understand who you are. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the source of everyone's strength, wealth, fame, wisdom, and renunciation. You are the same Supreme Person whom I worship as Lord Ramachandra. No one else has such immeasurable strength to defeat me like this. Satisfied by the submissive praise of Jambavan, and to mitigate his pain, the Lord began to gently rub his luscious palms all over Jambavan's body. At once, Jambavan felt complete relief from the pain and fatigue of the great battle. Spoke to his devotee with sublime compassion, his grave voice deeply resounding like a cloud. My dear King Jambavan, you, not the lion, are the true king of the jungle. O Lord of the Bears, it is for the Shantaka jewel that I have come to your cave. Since the disappearance of this jewel, fools have defamed me. Please, turn the jewel over to me now. Understanding the whole situation, Jambavan immediately placed the magnificent jewel around the Lord's neck with great devotion. He also offered his beautiful maiden daughter, Jambavati, to join Krishna as his wife. Accepting both the Shantaka jewel and Jambavati, Krishna happily married her within the mountain cave. Earlier, kingdom of forests without Krishna. The Lord's family had plunged into an ocean of sorrow, and they had cursed Satyajit as the cause of Krishna's disappearance. They decided to pray to the demigoddess Durga for Krishna's safe return. And as soon as they had finished their prayers, the goddess promised to grant their request. Just then, Lord Krishna appeared before them with his new wife on his arm and a brilliant Shantaka jewel around his neck. Overjoyed, the residents of Dwarka at once prepared to celebrate the return of their lord. Lord Krishna summoned Satyajit to the royal assembly, and in the presence of King Rudrasena, announced the recovery of the jewel. Then, he formally presented the jewel to Satyajit. Hanging his head in shame, Satyajit took the gem and returned home. As he pondered the grievous offense he had committed against Krishna, Satyajit worried about possible conflict with the Lord's mighty devotees. Then he thought, how can I cleanse myself of my sin, and how may Lord Krishna become satisfied with me? What can I do to regain my good fortune and avoid being cursed for my offensive and foolish, miserly behavior? I know. I shall give Lord Krishna my daughter, Satyabhama, the jewel of all women, along with the Shantaka jewel. Hoping to pacify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satyajit arranged the marriage ceremony of Krishna and his beautiful daughter, Satyabhama, and the Lord married her in proper religious fashion. Being pleased with Satyajit, Lord Krishna said, "It is better to let the Shantaka jewel remain in the temple as you have kept it. In this way, since the jewel's presence in the city guarantees the absence of famine and other disturbances, every one of us will benefit." Lord Krishna knew that in his heart, Satyajit had no real desire to give the jewel away, and so, having already acquired Satyajit's greatest treasure, the pure, gem-like Satyabhama, Krishna was happy to let Satyajit keep the Shantaka jewel. It is said that anyone who hears the narration of the Supreme Lord's pastimes, such as the story of the Shantaka jewel, or describes these pastimes, or even simply remembers them, is free from all reactions to impious activities and attains the highest state.